Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, Webster Barnaby, who this week had the unmitigated gall to refer to people of the acronym as mutants from another planet.
It's like we have mutants living among us on planet Earth, as if they were mutants from another planet. This is the planet Earth.
Yes, the state representative even went further and used some horribly mean religious terminology against our people.
The Lord rebuke you, Satan, and all of your demons and all of your imps will come and parade before us. That's right, I called you demons and imps.
So, obviously, Barnaby must go. That's the easy part. But what some of our newer congregants have been asking me is why Barnaby is so wrong, whereas the people he was attacking are okay. After all, some of them used pretty harsh language as well.
Welcome back to the Genital Gestapo. Today we're playing Who's the Panty Police? Because I don't want people looking at my genitals, because that would make y'all pedophiles. I don't want a human centipede of a government telling me where or where not I can pee.
And on other occasions, some of our own woke-alites have called Republicans racists and bigots and Nazis and worse. So why do we give those insults a pass? You know, sometimes I feel like you aren't even reading your catechism, people. Miller's first rule of polemics, Constantinople Convocation Reformed, clearly says, always establish a robust system of double standards, where the rules only apply to your opponents and not to your allies. You see, although we claim to believe in these principles, we really only believe in winning. And if we can pretend to believe in fake principles to make the enemies of justice look bad, well, that's just good tactics. So the most important thing isn't what's being said, but who's saying it, and whether they're on our side. When they say Gestapo, we call it hyperbole that trivializes the Holocaust. But when we say Gestapo, we call it an accurate description. We're in a war here, people! We don't have the luxury of principles and consistency and logic, and of course, I hope you realize that the whole goal of sending up those young people to say such inflammatory things was to bait someone into losing their cool and saying something outrageous. And we did. We really did. Barnaby, our enemy, must go, and our friends the mutants and imps must stay. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Martha E. Pollock and Michael I. Kotilikoff, the president and provost, respectively, of Cornell University. Not as you might think for so pretentiously using middle initials. No, such pretension is very normal and admirable for the thought leaders at universities. This is much more serious than that. When a member of the student proletariat at Cornell recently encountered a painfully triggering account of sexual assault in a book she was reading for her Korean-American literature class, her sympathetic friend did the obviously right thing. She asked the university to require trigger warnings on all classroom materials so that nobody would ever encounter anything upsetting ever again in the pursuit of a college education. Naturally, the student assembly approved the resolution unanimously, since all properly constituted student bodies act as one hive mind. And what did the callous president and the provost say to this super reasonable request? They denied it, adamantly, and pretended that their indifference to the collective anguish of the student body was rooted in some archaic notion of academic freedom and the importance of encountering challenging ideas. But look, this is at odds with our entire movement. If we stand for anything, it is our love of the snowflake and our desire to protect all of the precious, dainty little ones from ever experiencing hurtful feelings, especially in a safe space like the university, where our whole way of life is to pretend like the outside world with its rules and its facts doesn't exist. Surely you understand that we must protect these fragile youngins from the harms that come, and we must indoctrinate them into our orthodoxy so we can prepare them for a world which will always take care for their feelings the way we do. One day soon, there will be abundant safe spaces for all, and no one will ever have to be challenged by the difficult ideas ever again. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, let us celebrate the outstanding work being done at Build-A-Bear, the stuff-it-yourself children's teddy bear factory, which this week announced a partnership with the draggiest queen of them all, Her Excellency RuPaul. That's right, the adults-only line of teddy bears at Build-A-Bear, called the Bear Cave, began promoting a $56 specialty bear with chocolate fur, a platinum wing, and a shiny gold dress described as cover bear, put the fur in your wok, head to paw, let your whole body talk. She done already done had herses, and now you can have yourses with your very own RuPaul bear. Invigorating prose indeed. Girl, this bear is fierce. Yes, we are working hard to make sure that no place in America is safe from transgenderism and drag queening, because there's nothing to be safe from. We want drag shows in the libraries and schools of America because we want young children to learn the basic truths that gender is fluid, sexual identity and orientation are mere constructs, and all social rules around sex and gender are ultimately as arbitrary and transient as RuPaul's hair color. Besides, if we can get children to embrace gender anarchy, then the bonus will be that when they read a Bible and hear ridiculous claims like that God made them male and female from the beginning and that God's intent for sex only within marriage is to be fruitful and multiply, they will immediately recognize these as anachronistic shackles imposed on them by the patriarchy and reject the rules, the book they're in, and the God who authored them. But why stop at Build-A-Bear? Imagine how many other children's toys can be made fabulous. Barbie can come with a business suit or cargo shorts. And Ken can come with, well, I mean, why not just come with everything that comes with Barbie? And without anatomical correctness, you can pretend any surgery has already been performed. Just imagine what else we could do. BB guns that identify as stuffed animals. Little rainbow-colored army thems. Also, didn't we always know there was something a little bit draggy about superheroes wearing tights and capes and masks, right? I mean, Batman even wears mascara gloves and go-go boots. And as if Hasbro's been thinking of us all along, they already have an entire line of toys in a film franchise actually called The Transformers. Is Bumblebee a boy or a girl? Why choose? As an otherin, they can be either, or both. Is Optimus Prime a pansexual truck former, or just open to using whichever end of the trailer hitch makes most sense in the moment? Let the children decide. Mix and match and do it yourself. That's the motto for the New World Order. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.